topic is do it yourself. And the one who's going to serve the meat in due season to us is our dear brother Ted Smith of Bellingham, Washington. So we're asking Brother Smith to come forward and present the subject to us.
Well, dear friends, it's a real pleasure to be with you again. We feel it's by the Lord's favor and grace that we have the privilege of being here. We bring you the greetings of our little ecclesia. There are just 10 of us, and they sent their Christian love down to you with Sister Bessie and myself. Well, as Brother announced, the subject is Do It Yourself. Our text is Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And in 2 Peter 1, 5 and 11, Peter tells us that he too tells us that we have work to do when he says, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And then Jesus worked too and set us an example. John 5, 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And in John 9, 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And in John 17, 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What are the works, dear friends, that we as the Lord's people are to be engaged in? Well, a large part of our works have to do with construction, building of character. Also, we are God's agents, God's ambassadors in the world. As to the building of character, we must have created in us a well-rounded mental attitude in line with truth, righteousness, holiness, and a wholehearted cooperation with God's purposes. Today, there is great interest in the do-it-yourself idea. Professional people, of course, do not like this idea very well. However, if you are a do-it-yourself person, there are available to you all kinds of good materials, tools and expert instructions in great detail. Those who are handy with tools get great pleasure and personal satisfaction out of their achievements, even though they cannot attain the professional standard and touch. We as Christians are identified with the greatest of all do-it-yourself projects, and we have the very best instruction, and the great teacher has infinite patience with us. We are furnished with a complete supply of equipment. It is up to us to exercise faith in the equipment and the teacher and be fully consecrated and filled with zeal. God has given us His Spirit and His Word. In addition, He supplies us with all kinds of helps. Among them are 6 studies in the Scriptures and innumerable instruction sheets called reprint power articles. At this time, we would like to concentrate upon these instruction sheets, the reprint articles. These instruction sheets from the pen of our pastor are just loaded with the spirit of sonship and the spirit of the truth. Our pastor's heart sentiments were in these instruction sheets. They are so essential for us, dear friends, at this time to understand and use. There is a tremendous variety of thought in these articles which we do well to expose ourselves to constantly. As the apostle exhorts us, we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed. Our old ways of thinking are so natural to us, and unless we make ourselves acquainted with a new standard put before us, we might be in serious error in our conduct. The time is long in the narrow way, and the conditions in our lives are constantly changing. We must constantly refresh our minds on the standard so as to properly meet these changing conditions that come into our lives. In using the reprints over the years, occasionally we would run across an outstanding article, and as time went on, we listed these under the heading of Splendid Articles. I think I counted right. I have 69 of these listed. It would not be possible, of course, to cover them all this afternoon. However, we'd like to refer to a number of these and point out their value to us as instruction sheets in our Christian living and character building and directions in the Lord's service. As we review these, I think you will agree with me when I say that even the titles are instructive. Here's the first one. Having done all, stand. And you may like to take down these pages as I go along. This is on page 4042. The text of this instruction sheet is Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, stand. What does it mean, having done all? Fenton puts it this way, having done all your duty. The thought is obedience to all of God's will as found in His Word. In this attitude of continued obedience, we are to stand. The apostle then tells us that in standing, we're to have on the armor of God. Our loins to be girt about with truth. We are to have on the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to have the shield of faith. And then this all-essential helmet of salvation. And finally, we are to use the sword of the Spirit. The next instruction sheet is entitled, The Christian's Warfare Against Pride. And this is found on reprint page 5889. Here is something for us to do with all our might, to come to an understanding of what pride is. And when we see any of the tendencies of pride working in ourselves, we're to fight against them and to overcome them thoroughly. We're to bring into captivity every thought. Now that is quite a thought, is it not? To bring into captivity every thought, because our thoughts can go off in every direction. Pride is dangerous because it leads to mental unbalance. The third instruction sheet, for the benefit of Brother and Sister Gargis who came in, I'm just running over a few of the old reprint articles from the standpoint of instruction sheets in this do-it-yourself project. The third instruction sheet is entitled Necessity for Self-Control, and this is found on reprint page 5487. If we work along this line, we will carefully note the character qualities that are taught in God's Word. Then we will carefully and honestly analyze ourselves and curb those personal traits that are not in harmony with the Lord's Spirit. A careful consideration of the principles of the Golden Rule is very helpful in learning self-control. Another thought that is helpful is that moral strength is far superior to physical strength. Better is he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city, Proverbs 16:32. And that ideal is very helpful to us along this line. Another instruction sheet is entitled, Trials of Faith, Why Permitted, on page 1949. In this instruction sheet, it is said that many are perplexed as to why false doctrines are permitted to annoy and confuse God's people. This makes us aware that those who lightly esteem the truth to minister to their own selfishness in some manner are unworthy of the truth and must be sifted out. Those who do love the truth dearly are made strong by this knowledge, and endeavor to strengthen their grasp of the truth, to see what a valuable thing it is that they have in their possession, and not to lose it under any circumstances or for any reason. The next instruction sheet is called Little Ways of Doing Good to Others. This is page 5357. Many good works are enumerated in this sheet, and this is a delight to know how we can do good as Christians. One little point that is especially refreshing and enlightening was that thought that kind words and smiles are potent for good. We can be a blessing to others in this manner, and indirectly we can bless ourselves by such an attitude. Another sheet is somewhat related. It is entitled Sons and Daughters of Consolation, Comfort. And this is on page 3434. The very first words of this instruction sheet are inspiring. Comfort, consolation, what rest and refreshment and peace and joy these words imply. That the name Son of Consolation or Comfort should be given to any one of mature years tells us a whole volume in itself, respecting the general character of that person. One text especially is outstanding in giving us directions, Philippians 2, 1 and 2. If there be any consolation, comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The seventh instruction sheet is entitled From Glory to Glory, page 3655. The text is 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a special point that is helpful, and that is a suggestion as to the meaning of with open face. This means without any intervening veil of prejudice or fear or superstition, but with simplicity of heart and mind. Going from glory to glory is a steady advancement in the various graces of the Holy Spirit. The name of the next instruction sheet is in the form of a question. To whom shall we go? Page 2257. This was Peter's response to Jesus' question to his 12 disciples. Will ye also go away? And impulsive Peter's reply was, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's reply is very strengthening to us, for as we think of Jesus' question addressed to us, we can reply wholeheartedly with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. There are all kinds of appealing ambitions in the natural life, but when we repeat Peter's words, we feel stronger in ourselves, knowing, or in our resolves, knowing that it is true. There is no other place where we can hear the words of eternal life. And this has a special application to us who have the harvest message. It is not anywhere else that we get such a rich supply of grace from the Lord. The next one is entitled, Mind the Same Things, page 4446. This is a very important instruction sheet for if we are to mind the same things, we need to know what these things are and how to do it. This is fairly simple, for we all have an understanding of God's plan, and we know that we're to be being prepared as the seed of Abraham to bless all the families of the earth. This means that we have to follow the directions carefully and be faithful in God's service. We are all diligent in minding these same things. Earthly ambitions are to be completely set aside. The tenth sheet is entitled, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory, page 1273. That reminds us of the name of one of the chapters in Volume 1, does it not? This sheet emphasizes the point that it is not merely knowledge that we are to possess, but it is to have a Christ-like character distinctly formed in us as a result of the begetting power of the truth, and of exceeding great and precious promises, inspiring in us love to God and to all his creatures. Fullness of Joy is the next title, page 1494. This instruction sheet is placing special emphasis on the wonderful prospect of being the bride of Christ. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Psalm 45, 10 and 11. This text exercises a special hallowed influence in our lives. Instruction sheet number 12 is entitled, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Page 2240. This sheet is a good illustration where the title itself is very instructive and illuminating. The following sheet is entitled, Mark the Perfect Man, Behold the Upright, page 2585. This sheet considers in considerable detail the various elements of the Beatitudes, showing how they are basic principles, and our Lord deals with us along these lines. The 14th is entitled, The Cup of the Lord and the Table of the Lord, page 1898. Among other helpful things, this sheet contains a warning that we do well to take heed. We cannot have our hearts divided and be pleasing to God. Our hearts must be completely loyal to God. The next sheet is entitled The Heavenly Treasure, page 1820. It is important for us to know that no treasure we can lay up in this life is worth the effort. For this life, there is nothing of an enduring character. How heart-cheering to know that we can labor for treasures that will be laid up for us in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Matthew 6:19-21. And today we see many treasures that are in danger of being corrupted when we see this trouble in the world today over the gold standard. There are many people that are in line for losing millions of dollars. Well, that's treasures having to do with this earth. But the treasures we can lay up are in heaven. Sheet number 16 is entitled, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. This is a very touching thought. Page 4783. This is a most delightful instruction sheet, pretends to promote in our hearts an intimate and warm love toward our Heavenly Father and toward our Redeemer, who is our heavenly beloved. The very first sentence is a sample of the spirit of this article. Rightly understood, we find the Bible to be a love story of surpassing interest. This is a divine love story of surpassing tenderness. The next title stimulates our careful thought. Finally, be all of one mind. 2877. The first paragraph of this instruction sheet is beautiful and merits careful study to catch its exact meaning. Here's how it reads. Harmony does not mean a likeness. Rather, it signifies unity with diverseness. Diversity. The Lord's will respecting his people does not contemplate exact sameness, wholly ignoring individual characteristics and peculiarities. On the contrary, a diversity with harmony is more desirable than sameness, as for instance the harmonious seven colors of the rainbow. There are two essentials in being of one mind. First, a harmony of doctrine. Second, a harmony of spirit. This instruction sheet contains some very deep thought for our nourishment. Next, finding the Lord's jewels, page 4115. This instruction sheet contains this suggestion. The very fact that the Lord granted us the privilege of his fellowship is an assurance that there was something in us that he did not despise and was willing to take over that he might mold and fashion it by his truth and grace, and finally present it beautiful and irreprovable before the Father through the glorious change of the first resurrection. The instruction sheet number 19 is about the work on diamonds. Who is worthy? Page 3103. We as Christians are diamonds. When we start out, we are diamonds in the rough. And this instruction sheet gives us pointers on how to cooperate with our heavenly lapidary so that we may become polished diamonds, beautifully reflecting the divine light of truth and holiness. Well, now I see I must turn over here and close. The last one we have is number 69, entitled Presenting the Message of the Kingdom, 5979. This is one of the very last of our pastor's messages and gives us a number of suggestions as to how we can be proper ambassadors for the precious message of the kingdom. Our mental attitude is extremely important, and we must, as far as possible, be peacemakers and not strife breeders. Our message is of peace and goodwill, to point men in the right direction. In closing, I think it would be correct to say that the reprint articles are a necessary part of the harvest message just as much as the volumes. All phases of truth are touched upon. Thus, we are constantly reminded of the standard that is before us. We are leaky vessels and we must refill. We can forget and must be reminded over and over again. Our experiences and environments change, and there is danger that we lose our contact on the Holy Spirit of truth, righteousness, and holiness. There is a proper perspective that we should have, and these reprint articles assist us to understand that perspective and hold it under all conditions. It would be correct to say, I think, that the study of these articles would promote a good and balanced spirit of unity amongst us, and there would be less strife or no strife at all. The pastor and his ministry touched upon many different matters of prophetic and typical nature, but mixed with all this difficult material, our pastor endeavored to emphasize the thought that the divine plan itself is the important thing, and there is no need for us as brethren to have differences of such a nature that we need to fight over them. Those differences will not arise. There is no need for them. In other words, if we lose sight of the divine plan and our part in it, then there is danger that we will create differences that will lead to strife and unpleasantness. There is a grand spirit of unity and love possible for us in the truth of the divine plan, and this is worth preserving and fostering.